And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, I don't know about you, but seems like 24-hour baseball we got going on right now, and it's kind of amazing.
It's the best. It is the best. I know someone said we should have the World Baseball Classic every year, but I think if we do that, it'll be like having Christmas every day, where it won't be as special anymore. But I tell you what, while it is on right now, the World Baseball Classic is absolutely filling my boots. Having some high pressure, high intensity, high stakes baseball instead of spring training games, which are like the opposite of that. It's just a joy, isn't it? It's just a joy. I mean, so many great things that you could talk about, so many like great highlights already. But I think like the easy one for us to talk about is Junior, right? Like absolutely killing it. We're going to talk more about him in a second, but I just want to say that Team GB we've lost both games, but they've been doing me proud. They've been doing me proud. They've not like, I think the score lines have gotten out of hand in both of our games against Mexico and the US. But I would say we were in those games for decent periods of time. And then they kind of just fell away towards the end, particularly the Mexico game. We were tied going into the like eighth inning with Mexico. It's just Team GB lack the pitching depth, I think, to finish out games. I don't know if we've got enough pitches to cover nine innings a game. We've got enough to cover like five or six, but not quite enough. And we don't really have the offensive firepower, but we're playing good defense. We're playing good fundamentals. It's just a shame we're in a group of death with the US and Mexico, who are like two of the top four teams in the tournament. Hope we're playing Italy today. We might be able to beat them. We're playing Brazil later. We might be able to beat them. So if we can like come third in that group, I'd be super proud of them. I mean, you are not as biased as me about the World Baseball Classic in terms of Team GB. Are you looking at these guys and going, Pat, these guys suck? What are you talking about?
I watched the game last night, and the first couple innings obviously got a huge leadoff home run to begin the game off Scoobs. That was crazy. And then it always felt a little precarious going through the first couple of innings, but I have to give credit to the pitchers from Team GB. There was a couple in particular that they showed some good stuff out there, but I think you're right. I mean, you got a guy with a very unfortunate last name who came in there and played like his last name a little bit. But at the end of the day, like, it's tough when you're going up against guys like Aaron Judge, and like the worst hitter you're facing is Ernie Clement. You know, and I just picked a name, and I don't know who the actual worst hitter is on the team. But like, that's your easy at bat in the lineup, right? So it's tough. And I think that they didn't embarrass themselves. And that's one thing I think is always cool about the WBC is none of these teams are embarrassing themselves out here. They're all putting up good moments and really exciting stuff. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. And we hope that all of y'all are enjoying it as much as we are. We appreciate you for spending some of your time away from the WBC here with us to talk Rays baseball. So glad to have you. Want to give a quick shout out to all of y'all who have done what we have asked and subscribed over on YouTube, up above 607 subscribers. We really appreciate all of y'all that are subscribed. If you're listening and you haven't already, we really appreciate you. If you hop over there and subscribe, helps us out a bunch. We're going to be here all baseball season long. We're excited to go through the season with you guys, and we appreciate all of you that have stuck with us through the off season, getting into the season starting very soon. So before we get into spring training, obviously we talk about Junior, but besides Junior, any other really fun things that you've liked from the WBC?
Gary Gilhill getting some high leverage innings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been fun. It's been great to see Aranda absolutely mashing as well. I mean, Junior's getting all the attention, but Aranda's still hitting really well. He hit the big home run against us, and I had very mixed feelings about that when Aranda kind of put the game to bed against Team GB. I was like, oh man, I don't know how to feel. But he's still doing the thing, which is great to see. And getting those kind of high intensity reps from the Rays players and performing mostly well is really encouraging, right? Yeah. Like when you're watching spring training games, it's hard to tell when they're like actually trying to get the best possible results or if they're like tinkering with stuff or just kind of easing themselves into it. But to see them go, right, this is a high pressure game that I care about and I'm doing well, you go, okay, this bodes well for when the games start to matter for the Rays as well. So it's been really fun seeing them in all of those different contexts. And also, heck, I mean, just seeing like the kind of passion and enthusiasm that the players play for, especially from like the Dominican, say, like just to see them, you know, truly caring and the kind of passion that you get that you don't always see on a day-to-day regular season baseball field. It is the Baseball World Cup, and people love representing their country, and like power, it must feel so good to like do that for your country, right?
Yeah, and I think even and you see it, it's some of the American players I've watched are a little bit, some of them try to act a little too cool for school, I think, sometimes. But it was nice to see a guy like Gunnar Henderson just get absolutely fired up about hitting a double. And he had a bit of a rough start to the game too. So, you know, it's that passion is what we all love about baseball. It's why we love Junior so much, is because he has that passion for the game, and it leaks out all the time, and it's just really fun to watch. Aranda has it too, and we just love to see that. One of the other things I've thought has been kind of neat to see is Curtis Meade having himself a pretty good World Baseball Classic. Australia is in position to potentially advance in their group. Like they're in a good, I think they're 2-1. They're in a decent spot right now to potentially advance. So I'm interested to see for him if he can get an extended run at the WBC, and he's batting high up in their lineup right behind Bazana. And so it'd be interesting to see if he can get parlay this kind of into some success in the regular season. Obviously we know he had spring training for the ages last year, but it'd be interesting to see. I think it really helped Junior playing in meaningful games last off season before coming into the season in the Dominican League. So then I love that Junior's playing the WC and playing the way that he's playing, because he clearly feeds off that. It'd be interesting to see if Curtis Meade can parlay that into something with the White Sox.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, if only Curtis Meade could play all of his games in March. Imagine if every month was March. He would be the greatest hitter of all time. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, who did Australia play against? I'm just going to double check that. Just because I'm curious as to the quality of opposition. So Chinese Taipei, which were curiously ranked very high, even though they've got hosed by Japan and got beat by Australia. They did absolutely destroy Czechia, to be fair, and etched out a win against Korea. And then their other game was against Czechia, who I think are probably the weakest team in maybe the tournament.
Yeah, and then they had a close loss to Japan last night. Which has got them to 2-1 now. So in their group, they are behind Japan, who I believe is already, they've auto-qualified to the next round. Good for them. Shocker. And so it'll come down to Chinese Taipei, or I guess that's technically Taiwan or Australia.
Top two from every group that advanced?
It's the top two from every group. Yeah.
Yeah. So where we were, GB were cooked before the tournament even started with the US and Mexico in there.
Even Italy, they've got some players, you know, like obviously Jacques Caglione plays for them. So I'm a little bit biased towards Italy, but Italy's got some decent pitchers as well. That's just a tough group.
It is a tough group. I hope we can beat Italy today. That's what I'm hoping for.
That feels like a fun inter-European baseball game. Yeah.
I don't want to get too off topic, but I have actually been to Italian League baseball. I have watched Italian League baseball. And it's all right. It's actually okay. I watched a playoff game in the Italian League. And it was pretty good. They don't use bullpens over there.
Oh, really?
Like, they really don't. Like, it's still like 1950s baseball over there, where like, unless the pitch is really getting shelled, they don't go to the pen. They just let the starters kind of go cook. Yeah. When I went, the home team won like 6-4, and the ace was on the mound. Casanova was his last name.
Incredible name.
Yeah, and Casanova gave up 4 runs by like the 5th, but they just kept him out there and he pitched a complete game. He threw like 160 pitches.
Love it. Terrible for your arm, but I love it.
Although I think the fastest he threw was like 91, so don't worry too hard.
Yeah. Something else I think we and every single Rays fan loved was seeing Junior Caminero. I just like watching Junior Caminero play basically all the time. But his home run absolutely annihilated. There's no chance that ball was. I think it was rated at like 112 or something. I do not believe it. That was at least 150 off the bat, 100%. Crushed it, and he's just been great. All WBs, he's looked outstanding, and it's clear that these moments matter to him, and he rises to the occasion of these moments. And man, if we get this Junior Caminero during the regular season, watch out.
Yeah, scary. I mean, I know loads of people are pegging Caminero to be a regression candidate, but we've already talked at length about how we think that's not likely. We might see like a small regression, but not like a huge one, like many people expect, and like so far so good. I know these games don't count, but they sure do count for him. Oh, yeah. And I don't think he's hit a ball with an exit velocity below like 110 miles an hour yet.
I think his lowest is 107, which is right, like his lowest exit velocity is 107. I'm pretty sure.
Like he is scalding baseballs. Like the worst. If you get reincarnated as a baseball being pitched to Junior Caminero, you've done something wrong because you are going to get punished for your sins if you are a baseball to Junior Caminero. So it's been great. It's been phenomenal. And yeah, the electricity he brings. I mean, that home run celebration was reminiscent of the Dominican Winter League one. And again, just a laser to center field as well.
Yes.
And then, because he doesn't hit like moonshots, but he hits lasers. That's the thing. It all begs the question, can we extend this man before it's too late?
Yeah, I believe it was Ken Babby speaking about Junior. Yes, was it yesterday or the day before? I saw a soundbite talking about Junior very glowingly, obviously. And if you want to, we haven't talked too much about the stadium stuff because there's just not that much to talk about. But if you're trying to go out there and drum up support from the tax-paying populace of the area, they've done a lot of really good things PR-wise this offseason. Nothing could be better than extending that man before the season begins to just supercharge the positivity around the team. And if you are trying to get something done from a financial standpoint, from the local government, you're going to have the support of the fans and of the people living there. And they are tired of seeing stars leave. Now, obviously, Junior's nowhere near close to that even happening, even if they don't extend him. But the showing the commitment to the team, the commitment to our stars, is something that's going to build confidence and that would build a desire to support whatever's coming up next. But of course, this is all, I'm not even talking about whether I think it should be done or what the local government should do. I'm just talking about like what, like the emotions of extending Junior would bring. So I think that it's something they should really be considering. I do not know what Junior is going to want, what his agent's going to want, but I think you've got to at least give it a run to get him signed before the season starts, because the supercharging of emotion and of positivity that would bring, I don't think there's anything that could match it.
Yeah. He did use the term, we consider Junior the face of the franchise.
Yes.
Which is again, something you'd want to lock up your face of the franchise.
He would.
And I think he did say something along the lines of, we're open to it. He's open to it. He's openly said he's open to it.
Yes.
He's publicly said that. His agent is the same agent as Jose Ramirez. And Jose Ramirez signed multiple team-friendly extensions with Cleveland.
Long-term deals. Yeah.
Yeah. His agent is not a Scott Boras kind of type.
Yeah.
Where he's just looking for the maximum possible dollar. He understands that sometimes the player wants to just stick with the team. I've heard it floated that somewhere around 150 to 200 million, depending on the amount of years, would be the kind of commitment they're looking for. But yeah, they need to get around the table. Obviously, they don't want to disturb him during the WBC. But then you've got a week or so between that finishing and the season starting. You need to get around the table right then, because I'm sure you don't want to have that. You don't want to mess up his season by having that kind of lingering over.
And he won't need to be playing a lot of innings. Like as far as he'll be ramped up by that point. So if he only, he he has some time. So 100% need to find a way to get around the table. And like we said, you know, we can only hope that this version of Junior that we're seeing in the WBC is what we take into the regular season. But that remains to be seen. My question for you, Pat, though, as we kind of turn our eyes from the WBC, which is very difficult to do because the intensity level at the WBC compared to spring training, it's not even in the same stratosphere. However, what's one thing that you are seeing right now in spring training that you think could have effects into regular season and you think is going to carry through?
Yeah, I've got two things.
Okay.
The first one we'll break down first is Joe Boyle. Joe Boyle's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
He is making a real case to get that start, like final starting rotation spot, or kind of be a swingman reliever spot start type guy. I think he currently has the strongest case in spring training, at least. He's built the strongest case for himself, as he's been really good, and his command seems to have jumped. It's still not perfect, but it's taken another jump up. And I think if he can be, you know, around that 65% strike rate, he will be, or in zone rate, he could be a really kind of promising breakout pitcher for us this year.
Yeah. And when we talk about guys that we think can be a difference maker and can change the sort of the outcome or the ceiling of this season, he's a guy 100% that's a part of that conversation. So seeing the kind of performance that we've seen so far, it's really encouraging, because if we're talking about what's the best version of the Rays, what's the best version of this team, it is a team that includes Joe Boyle pitching at this level, because he is one of the guys that can get you to that ceiling, opposed to some of the other guys that we've brought in over the offseason who are good floor raisers but are not ceiling raisers. So I'm cautious with him because we've seen stretches of excellence from him. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but like you, I have been very impressed with his performance so far.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely one to keep an eye on. Still plenty of spring to go, so we'll see.
Sure.
But I really like his case right now.
Yeah.
The other one is Cedric Mullins has actually been looking pretty good in not much time. He's only played about a week. He started playing in games a bit later because he was like a little bit, he was feeling a couple of bits and bobs, but he started playing now and he's been looking good. He's hit a home run. He's been drawing walks as well. He's got more walks than strikeouts. He's been looking really good at the plate. And if he can return to any semblance of what he looked like kind of in Baltimore before he went to the Mets, that will be so helpful with improving the outfield. And we'll talk more about that in a minute, I think.
Yes, we will. And I think, again, talking about what the best version of this team is, I don't know if Cedric Mullins is, like, if we're just mapping out the best version of this team, I feel like it's almost unfair to say, well, the best version of this team would be Cedric Mullins a couple of years ago if he figures that out. I'm not even sure if we want to ask that of him, but could we get 80%, 70% of what his peak was? That's intriguing. And I would love to see something like that. I think we're going to get something closer to what we got last year, which is still good. But if he can be a little bit better even than he was last year, then I think that's an answer to a lot of the questions we're going to ask in the outfield segment.
Yeah, 100%. So fingers crossed he can keep up what he's doing, because we know what like the best version of Cedric Mullins looks like, and that's an all-star.
Yes.
And he's had a couple of seasons of putting over, you know, 20 home runs over the fence. Mm-hmm. Even Morel, with all the raw power, was never able to do that for us. And Mullins is more of like a pull fly ball merchant as opposed to like a raw power type guy. So we'll see how it plays out. But the Rays have had success with pull fly ball types before. So yeah. Hoping that can be something, and that we can catch a bit of bounce back in Mullins.
Yeah. For my part, what I am seeing so far and hoping can be brought forward into the regular season so far from spring training, I'm not the only one to say this, but Carson Williams's swing decisions are better. His bat to ball is better in this spring training than it has been previously. And it's now been better over the course of all of his games that he's played so far. Again, still not a ton. Only played 7 games, 16 at-bats. Still a very small sample size. However, seeing it's clear the emphasis for him is better swing decisions, better contact. And the thing that's also been exciting about that is he's been able to do that without just hitting a bunch of ground balls. He's been able to keep his line drive rate where he wants it to be. So if he can do that and continue to do this throughout spring training, he then begins to make himself a very, very strong case to be on the opening day roster. And it gets, and again, Ben Williamson, Taylor Walls, both have options, as does Carson Williams. So they can mix and match that group of the shortstop type players as much as they would like to. So if Carson plays the way that he's been playing so far at the end of spring training, you can bring him on to start the season. And if it doesn't work out, you don't lose Williamson or Walls. You can bring them back. And so I think that if he continues to play the way he's playing right now, because again, I've said this on all three players so far, but the best version of this version, this best version of this Rays team includes Carson Williams playing at the level that we all believe he can, which is like Willy Adames 2.0 type guy, right? If he can do that, this team levels up. And so if he's showing that he's getting there and getting to that place, I think you got to give him a shot at the major league level. So obviously still early on in spring training, we don't know what's going to happen, but if he continues on this trajectory, and again, he hasn't hit a home run yet. I don't necessarily need a bunch of home runs from you. I need doubles. I need on base, and I need you to continue to play great defense. If you can do that for me, I want you on my major league roster, because right now, like, he's slashing a 708, right? I would like this, a 708 from him compared to what we were getting from Taylor Walls offensively with similar levels of, you know, Williams is not as good at Walls defensively, but similar levels. That's a crazy trade-off to be able to get that from him. So if we can get that in the regular season, you gotta at least give it a shot if it seems like he's doing that consistently throughout the remainder of spring training.
Yeah, this is a team, and this is a team that has a lot of, if they do well, then we have a chance, but yes, we don't know if they're going to do well,
right,
type players. So we need at least half of that. If we want to sneak a wild card, we need a lot of these what if players to hit. And so far, Williams looks like he might be one of those what ifs that could hit. So the main thing for me is this cutting down on that, on the whiffs, right? Getting the ball in play a little bit more, because he swings hard. So that is power will do the rest, as long as he can just get the bat on the ball a bit more.
Yes.
And so far that's improving. So maybe it's worth just going, hey man, we're unlikely to improve you at AAA, so let's just give you the run.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's maybe the most encouraging thing I'm seeing so far this spring training. And I believe, because it's clear that they are focusing on that, that it can continue into the regular season. That's what I want to see. So I'm biased.
Fingers crossed. So we need to talk about the outfield and the catching situation. We need to I know I sound like a broken record, but we do need to talk about it.
And, you know, we've talked about it kind of all off season that the amount of certainty and the amount of questions we've had around the outfield have just been super high all off season. And for me, when I'm thinking about my life, I want to have as few question marks as possible. And that's why when it comes to the wardrobe, we don't need to even have question marks. We can just go to shop.rblsports.com, where you can use promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, for 10% off your entire order of all the best merch inspired by your favorite Tampa sports teams, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Sun. It's all there. Shop.rblsports.com, promo code Flappy, FLAPPY, 10% off your entire order.
Yeah, you don't need to replace your entire group when you buy from shop.rblsports.com, which is what the Rays did this past offseason. Oh my gosh, did we have a lot of changes in the outfield.
Yep. So just to recap, in this offseason, brought in Cedric Mullins, Jake Fraley, Ryan Vallade. I guess you could say that he's in contention for outfield stuff. Johnny DeLuca's back from injury, so he's there. And that's just the guys that are sort of projected to be starting. You've also got Jacob Melton brought in, Justin Henry Molloy, Victor Mesa Jr., and then Richie Palacios coming off of injury. Man.
Yeah.
Options.
None of them are guaranteed to be good next year.
the closest to guaranteed to be good next year, I would say, is Johnny DeLuca. I think if he is healthy, he will be good. I don't know that he's going to be great, but if Johnny DeLuca is healthy, I'm comfortable to say that he's going to be good.
Yeah, I agree. The health is the only thing you got to watch with that.
Yeah.
Let's see. So I think, assuming he's healthy, he is an absolute lock for center field.
Agreed.
Fangraphs does not have him projected this way. Fangraphs has him as the fourth outfielder. I don't know why, but for me, he's absolutely doing that. I think he can put up good numbers as well. I think he can hit to a league average clip.
Yes.
He's never been able to just play for long enough to really get a full understanding of what his offensive skill set is. But whenever he does play, he seems to look good and then just gets hurt. So I'm hoping that he can hit to a league average clip with plus defense and, then you've got, a 3-WAR player.
Yeah. And that's, I don't need him to be a world beater offensively. I just need league average. So I think he's locked in at center. And I think that's the only really locked in outfield position. Right field and left field. There is so much going on there. So much going on. We've talked a lot about all of these guys that we just mentioned. If you are looking for more in-depth analysis on each of those people individually, head back into the RBL archive. There's a lot of great conversations we had during the offseason about these guys when we brought them in. So if you want to, if you're just a Jake Fraley head and you just love talking about Jake Fraley, we got it for you. So head back and take a look at some of that. So I want to cut through a little bit of some of the, there's just so much question. Right now, spring training being what it is, we are where we are right now. Who are you expecting to start in right field and left field opening day?
I'm pretty close to locking in Cedric Mullins into left field.
Okay.
I know he's a center fielder by trade, but Johnny DeLuca is faster and at this point in Mullins's career, a better fielder.
Yeah.
Than Mullins is. Mullins has been a good center fielder, but the past year or so, he's really declined in center field. So I would rather play him in a corner.
Yeah.
He could play in right field. Right field is a bit bigger in the Trop. So maybe you'd rather have Mullins in right field.
Yeah.
But either, whether he's in left field or right field, I think Mullins is guaranteed to take one of those corner spots. They're paying him enough money to be a starter. He is, one of the highest centers on the team now at like $8 million. He plays decent defense. I think in a corner, it could be plus. Has power potential, is a veteran, knows what he's doing. Not a fringe major league player. He is a certain major leaguer, so I see no reason why he's not on the team. I think he does enough on both sides of the ball. I think he plays decent to plus defense, and I think he does league average to maybe a smidge above that on the offense. So that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, again, we do have to take into account not just how well we think someone could play, but also their contract and their roster option situation when we're kind of discussing who we think is going to be on the roster. Because again, if you DFA Cedric Mullins, you're not getting him back. Somebody else is going to pick him up. And same thing with the guy that I think is going to be starting in. I agree with you. I think Cedric Mullins will start in right field. The guy who's going to be in left field, I think, is going to be Jake Fraley for a very similar reason that we've paid him not a crazy amount of money, but a decent amount of money. And he is, if you waive him, you're not getting him back. And so I think that those two guys are going to be your starting right and left fielders. And then I think it gets really interesting. Do you disagree or you have a different thought on who's going to be in left?
I think so. I think Melton, when he hits the ball, crushes it, but still has so much swing and miss. He still has so much swing and miss that I don't think he's done enough to, and considering the option situation, he would have to do really well to knock Fraley off the roster.
Yeah.
I thought there was a world where we could have Melt there, and this maybe could still be the world,
yeah.
but I don't think it is. where Melton starts in a corner and Fraley's just your fourth outfielder. Because he could fill in any of the spots, but I think right now it looks more likely that Fraley's going to start in a corner. Because we've talked about it already, that he's kind of the most average player of all time.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's been less standout at anything in either direction than Jake Fraley.
Yeah.
Like, he is the most bang average, like, steady player of all time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need that when you're like, hey, we've got too many question marks in these other players. I don't see why we don't put him in there. And you're right about the option situation. You'd rather have him. Who do you think is going to fill out that group if you think Fraley is going to be there? Because then we've got a few options here. We've got Melton. We've got Valade. We've got Simpson. We got Malloy. And we got Mesa.
Yeah.
There's five guys.
Five guys. And I think, again, not to be, and I don't mean to just be like, whoever doesn't have options is on the team. But at the same time, it's the fact that Valade has stuck around so long throughout the offseason as players have come and gone. And again, like, not to just keep beating this over the, you know, beating this over the head, Melton, Palacios, Malloy, Mesa Jr. all have options. And so to me, I think this is going to end up being Valade to start the season. However, I think Valade is on a short leash where if Chandler fixes his defense and is killing it, he has a high possibility of being up. Melton, if he can be more consistent with the bat, high probability of being up. Malloy, I think he's your emergency center fielder is what I think he is. Or maybe not an emergency center fielder. He's just an emergency outfielder in general. Maybe Victor Mace is more your emergency center fielder. I kind of think that's what those two guys are. So for opening day, I'm going to put Valade on my roster, but with the idea that, hey, you are on a short leash, buddy. You need to figure it out. And again, you know, something else to consider, Valade bats righty, as opposed to some, we got some lefty heaviness to our lineup right now with some of our top guys, with Aranda, Mullins, who we're expecting to be in the outfield, Lux, who we're expecting to start at second as a lefty, Jake Fraley's a lefty, Chandler, if he came up, would be a lefty. We have a lefty and a righty catcher. So, Valade being a righty, I think does matter. The Rays like to platoon it. So I think that he's a guy is going to end up platooning with Jake Fraley a good bit, especially to begin the season. And we'll just kind of see how it goes. And I mean, hey, keep platoon with Mullins too, whichever one of them is performing not as well, but I think they paid Mullins more. So that's where I'm at right now, with the obvious caveat of injuries change everything. And if one of these guys crushes it, I don't think they're super attached to anybody except Mullins. And I think they would be willing to make a move. And again, you could probably trade Fraley for a lottery ticket or something if you really wanted to, if you felt like you just had it figured out with these other guys.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you've said. It's also worth noting that Valade could also platoon with Lux because he has experience at second.
Very true. Yes.
So he's got a lot of positional versatility. You wouldn't want him in center field, but you could play him pretty much anywhere else, I think.
But yes, you could play him pretty much anywhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, he does hit the ball hard. Mm-hmm. Has been making some pretty good decisions in spring. I know a friend of the show, Ben Whitelaw, is a big fan of his as well. Mm-hmm. He's put it to us that the good version of Ryan Valade, like the ceiling of his, is like Luke Raley.
Yeah.
Like right-handed Luke Raley, which, hey, he was great in the 2023 season. Yes. So yeah, he was, you know, I'd take another one of them 100%. Sure. I don't know if he's going to be as sneaky fast as Luke Raley though. That was like my favorite thing about him. But yeah, I think he has an inside track just because of his positional versatility. Like you said, his right-handed ability. And yeah, I think Melton has some stuff that he definitely needs to work on, but has the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
Simpson hasn't really played many games yet in spring because he's been like on and off with a leg injury.
Yes.
And they might want to give him more reps to work on his defense anyway. And I think you're 100% right in your assessment of Malloy and Mesa being kind of the, hey, if a load of people are injured, we can play you. But like, that's kind of your role. You're kind of filling out the AAA spots.
Which, again, we used those guys last year. And then really some of them did some really nice stuff for us. So we're happy to have them around because we needed them last year. And so we'll see.
Richie Palacios?
I have him more slated towards the infield competition with Lux, but again, he could still, he has got the versatility that he could find a way. But I at the moment, I think you need to have, it's tough because I think you need to have a fourth outfielder. And I think that right now, the fact that Palacios is still optionable, I think is going to put him below Valade. But again, he's in the group of guys where first guy up is one of those is either Palacios, Simpson or Melton. He's in that. Yeah. Group. So it'll just a lot of things. And again, if Fraley comes out there and it's just bad, you know, same or Valade just doesn't have it, cut him loose and we give one of the young guys a shot.
Great. Yeah, I completely agree. How do you feel about this outfield group? Because last year, obviously, it was awful, much discussed. We often project kind of our feelings towards the group. We like our infield. We definitely like our corner infield. We have some questions about our middle infield. We like our rotation tentatively. We are pretty safe with our bullpen. How do you feel about the outfield?
I would put it at a 5. I was thinking really hard about going 4, but I think a 5 means that I think it is more likely than not that we will have league average or slightly below league average play from our outfield. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah. It has a ceiling to be like an 8.
Sure.
But it has a floor to be like a 2.
Right. And I think, I think we're more likely to hit the ceiling than the floor. Like I think because we've got some veterans in there, I don't think they're going to just be awful. But I think we're maybe put it this way. I think we're more likely to end the season at a 6.5 or a 7 than we are to end at a 2 or 3. I'll just put it that
way. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. It doesn't feel like the questions have been answered, but they've added more options to the question. If that makes sense. It's a multiple choice question.
I think Mullins answers one question. Yeah, I think he does answer a question. I think it's not the hardest question, but I think he does answer it.
Do you feel better about the outfield than last year?
No, because I had higher hopes for some of those guys than I had more belief, specifically Morel. I really thought, and J-Lo. Yeah, I felt better about it last off because I really felt like between Morel and J-Lo, I thought we could figure it out.
Yeah, and we thought DeLuca would be healthy as well.
We did, yes.
And yeah, we ended in Travis Jankowski, I think, played a bit. We had Everson Pereira getting quite a lot of reps out there by the end.
Yeah.
It got pretty grim by the end out there.
Yeah.
It's a real shame. Meisner played quite a bit. I do miss Jake Mangum a little bit.
I have to be honest with you. I really miss Jake Mangum.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather have Jake Mangum than Jake Fraley. I'll just put it that way.
I agree. But then Jake Melton might come in and change all of our mind.
Yeah, but I would like to have Jake Melton and Jake Mangum, I guess. You know, I think... Like, if you had JDL, Jake Mangum, and Jake Melton, and you could also bring in Mullins, I think I would be very happy with that outcome.
I guess to get Melton, we had to trade Lau and Mangum.
And Montgomery. I feel great about that. Really awesome about that. I'm very excited.
Hey, I am a Melton believer. I'm with you that I wish we still had Jake Mangum. Just as he would have been the perfect fourth outfielder. Or he would have played one of the spots that Fraley's playing, and Fraley would have been the fourth outfielder. But These are the prices you have to pay. But we'll talk about it when Jake Melton's up and mashing.
I hope so. Catcher, the last position group. This is one I wish I had more to say about it. It's not even necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it's, you know, pretty simple. Hunter Fiducia, pretty good hitter, okay defender. Nick Fortes, pretty good defender, okay hitter. They're both going to play. They're a righty-lefty platoon.
Yeah. we ended with the same catching group that we are starting with the same catching group that we had at the end of last year. And I think that's a good thing.
I like it. I think it's good to have some continuity there.
Yeah, 100%. I think I like Nick Fortes.
Yeah.
I really do. I think his defense is good. And he's a definite improvement over Rotvet and Jansen.
Yeah.
Fiducia, I don't know what to make of him. There seems to be signs as a hitter, but he's yet to show him. I've not been convinced on either side of the ball by Fiducia yet, but I also know he's young and hasn't played a ton at the major league level yet.
Yeah.
But people liked him in the Dodgers farm. He was just kind of blocked behind like a load of good Dodger catching prospects and Will Smith. We'll see what he does. I hope he can show some signs of something more than he did last year.
Yeah. So has yet to put in a full year of MLB service time. So I'm going to give him some grace there. And I think, I like his bat. I'm very optimistic about his bat.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that
and
way.
Whether Fiducia works or not, Fortes is a pretty safe.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that high upside, but like a pretty safe floor catcher that you can give the bulk of the games and it'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's like a 6 out of 10 confidence in the catching group. I wasn't going to drink tonight, but I'm missing Mike Zunino. We were spoiled.
I don't know that I'm ever going to get over Mike Zunino. I have to tell you. Especially, you know, I was very excited about Dom Keegan.
He might turn up eventually.
It's not really working out so far in spring training for him. He's defensively has looked a little bit better, but offensively is not. And again, small sample sizes, not awesome. So it seems like that's who we're going to be. That's who we got. And I'm okay with that. Yeah. What would you put your confidence level at?
Yeah. Like a six.
It's a six, I don't feel bad about it.
No, I don't feel bad. I don't feel particularly good about it. I'm not like, yo, we've got one of the best catching sets in the league or anything. But I'm like, I don't think they're going to kill us like they did last year. I'm just looking at the catching depth chart and how like we don't really have much on the way either. Like unless you think Logan Driscoll is going to be something or Kenny Piper maybe, but. Caden Bodine, I guess we're putting our hope towards who we got in the Shane Bars trade.
Yeah.
That's kind of the main guy. JD Gonzalez, who we got in the Jason Adam trade. Those are the and they're both like projected to start in single A. So they're still a little off. So yeah, and good catches don't grow on trees, really.
They do not. So that's gonna be one where I wonder if we went to every fan base and asked them their confidence level in their catching position, I would be curious to see how many would rate higher than a six.
Yeah. I think there was opportunities. I think Sean Murphy was one that was kind of floated around a few times that they were like, hey, it doesn't seem like the Braves are that fussed about keeping him around and the Rays have had interest in the past. They didn't pull the trigger on that in the end. I mean, the Rays are always happy to make a move whenever. They don't always wait till the trade deadline if they really think they need to address something.
Yeah.
But, it's fine. I mean, we've covered all the positions now. Overall, what is your confidence in this Rays team?
It's probably at about a 7.
That high?
I think it's at a 7, and it's being carried very heavily by the infield. And the starting pitching, because if we were just doing the averages, right? I think the one area that brings it down is the outfield, that brings it down with a 5. The others, there's the catcher's the other lowest, so that's a 5 and a 6. but everything else is a seven or above for me. And so I think it averages out to be a seven. And I think it's easy when you go through an off season and we don't have any like massive signings to get really down on the team. And I think it's good to also be able to look at Junior and Aranda and remember, hey, we've got some really awesome players. To watch Griffin Jacks, sorry, Pat, dismantle the GB lineup last night, look fantastic. Like, there's some really good, the top end talent on this team is like, if you were just going to get, if you just took our top three guys and you put them up against the rest of the league's top three guys, you know, they would be like, they would be up there. And so I think a seven is where I'm at.
Yeah. The way I feel about this team is they could finish anywhere between 75 and 90 wins, which is a pretty long, like a pretty large disparity of how many that could be. Like that could be like dead last in the division by a distance, or it could be like the second wild card. I'm like, we could finish anywhere in those positions. And right. I have no clue where, because we've got so many vet players where we're not sure what we're going to get from them. I think you're right. Our top guys are great. It's just everything around them is just a huge question mark where you're like, hey, that might work, but it could equally not. And it's all about like, yeah, those little, there's lots of little things. I know Kevin Cash was not impressed with the team in camp a couple of days ago. It was crazy. He was like, yeah, we're not pitching very well. We're not hitting very well. We're not fielding very well. And we're not base running very well. I was like, whoa. Yeah. but yeah, you're right. The top end talent is there. We just need the supplementary pieces to not be awful.
Yeah. What do you guys
think? And then we'll finish with 85 wins.
Yeah, somewhere. And again, we still got more to preview. We still got some more. Not on the team. We've got to think about the rest of the AL East. We got to think about how we're going to perform in the American League. And we want to know what your thoughts are on the outfield, on the catching position as we get closer to the season. What are your thoughts on the team? Do you feel like this is a team that can make a playoff run, or are we going to be stuck outside looking in once again? We'd love to hear from you guys. If you enjoyed the show, do us a huge favor and drop us a subscribe or a follow, whatever platform you enjoy us on. We appreciate you guys so much. We are getting closer and closer every day to the regular season starting. I'm enjoying the WBC and sort of the excitement that brings us. But there's nothing like Rays baseball. And it's almost here. It's almost here, guys. It's going to be so much fun. And not sure how it's all going to play out yet, but as we always say, it's always going to be Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.